Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zach Kelly deals, and Robert swings, hits it in the air. Right field deep. Abreu back at the wall. It's gone. Fitz leaves the game. Kelly comes in, and Luis Robert hits a game-tying two-run home run in the sixth inning.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Big turning point in the game last night. It's Christian Arcan here, Reverend Arcan, Sunday Mass. Going a little extra, going until about 1:10 today before we hand things over to Red Sox pregame, which I believe, and this has not been talked about enough yet. Is it Cooper Boardman again today, David? Do we know this?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, I'm not a conspiracy person. You know that about me. If you've heard me talk about all the I'm not a big conspiracy guy. I tend to think conspiracies are generally kind of dumb. But have we looked into the possibility that Cooper Boardman has sabotaged this team with his velvety voice? Has anyone looked into this? Is anyone looking into this? Because I can't help but think, after a walk-off win against Toronto to end that series, and it wasn't a great series prior, okay? Starting to have some maybe anti-Lenny DiNardo thoughts there too, but at least they pulled away with the win at the end. They go to Chicago, Boardman gets in there, and all of a sudden they're getting outscored 12 to 3. Or not 12-3. What was the? It was 11 in the first, but 14-3 in the first two games against the Chicago freaking White Sox. I don't want to say that it's all Cooper Boardman's fault. I'd say like 85% maybe, but like I'm not going to say 100%. That's ridiculous. 85 I think is about right. So Boardman, whatever you're doing, do the opposite tonight, and let's see if we can get a win here. See if the Red Sox can get a win with Garrett Crochet. Let me put it to you this way. As bad as these first two losses were, and they were really, really bad, as bad as they were, if they can't win a Crochet start against the White Sox today, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine the type of language I'm going to use in my house. I'm glad I won't have to come on and do Red Sox Review because I'd probably get kicked off the air if they lose. If Garrett Crochet can't get a win over the White, I would. Yeah, I don't know. It's too early in the year to start getting affected like this, isn't it? And that's probably the answer to that is, yeah, Arcan, it's too early. You shouldn't be so upset right now. But I can't help it. It's the White Sox. I can't help it. This is a natural reaction. I'm not playing this up here. It started on Friday. I thought I'd come on the air today chilling out a little bit. Well, all right, they had that awful game on Friday, but at least they won yesterday. No, White Sox walk off. I can't imagine how excited they are, White Sox fans. This is like 1/5 of their entire win total from last year that they've already hit, right? Or 1/10 or whatever. I mean, this is, for them, this has got to be one of the hottest stretches they've ever had. in the last 2 years. And the Red Sox, front row seats, get to see it all. Get to see Luis Robert hitting dingers. And the rest of that lineup, I mean, my God, you look at the lineup, you're like, who are any of these people? I knew Robert. I knew the one of the kids from, he was a very high draft pick. Austin Hedges, but that's not it. Austin Vaughn?
Andrew Vaughn?
Andrew Vaughn? No, he's not him. The kid who hit cleanup 2 games ago. I guess he didn't play yesterday. But either way, and now I can't even remember his name. Okay? I know Benintendi's on the team. He's not playing right now.
Our Red Sox correspondent, Joe Weil, says it is Andrew Vaughn.
Andrew Vaughn.
That's what I said.
Andrew Vaughn's the one who was drafted third overall in 2019? Now, I guess
yes.
That would make sense then if he was 21. Yeah, okay. So there you go. It was Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn, who, again, sorry. I just, you look up and down this roster. It's not easy. Andrew Vaughn. Vargas, I think, came over in that Tommy Edman trade. It's a misfit team. It's a misfit White Sox team that it has been horribly mismanaged, held on too long with certain guys, have made every mistake you could possibly make as an organization, as a front office. They traded Crochet. I mean, like, you know, not that they got a terrible return or anything, but would you trade your ace? Like, that's weird. They're doing everything wrong, and they look head and shoulders better than the Red Sox through 2 games. Head and shoulders better. And it's not because they look great. It's because the Red Sox look completely out of sorts. Completely. And that is that's a situation and just a place that I wasn't expecting to see this team at any point this year, let alone through the first 16. Through 16 games, this is troublesome. And I think that ninth inning that's what's still stuck in my brain. That ninth inning where they looked at five pitches to get through that inning. I mean, that's unbelievable. Giving away outs, giving away at bats like you read about. Striking out like you read about. Committing errors in the field like you read about. The power surge you saw last weekend against St. Louis has completely fizzled out. They haven't homered since then. They haven't homered since Sunday. And this is a team with Devers and Bregman and Duran and Cass and all these guys, and they can't, you know? I'm sorry, the weather being cold is not enough. Not at Fenway Park, it's not. Oh, what? It's got to be a perfect day at Fenway to hit one out? Come on. And that was Martin Perez last night. Martin Perez. Dazzling through 6 innings. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls. I know a lot of you are frustrated. I'm frustrated. We'll keep this Sox conversation going. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, RJ?
What's up, man?
No, it's not too early to be concerned because I've called you before about, I believe the name of the analytics group is called Driveline.
Driveline, yes.
It's total fool's gold. And I can't believe this is Alex Cora. This is obviously Breslow. But the point I wanted to make is when Breslow was talking about Christian Campbell and patting everyone on the back, he said that, you know, he gave Christian Campbell credit for being flexible in something about being flexible in his ability to learn. Like, my point is that Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer down in Worcester hitting decent, but they're striking out a ton too. So, you know, this is not what you want to do at the beginning of the season. You know, you get, play for contact, and especially in playoff baseball, if we get that far. But you get my point. Like, this is a really bad idea. Bringing these guys in, obviously, you know, you see the effects of it now. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it there, Matt. Thanks for checking in. I'm not saying you should call the kids up yet. I don't think you do that yet for two reasons. Number one, I think you are – that would show everybody that if you have a bad 16 games, then that could be the end of it for you if you're Trevor Story or – one of the outfielders or Cassis. I saw Pete Abraham was talking about Roman Anthony should start taking reps at first base, or he might take reps at first base, something like that. I don't think we need to start doing that. And also because if you're floundering as a team, like they are right now, and you call up a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old, how old's Meyer? 23, 24? And you call them up and say, hey, you got to really help us get off the snide that we're on right now. Oh, that's good. All right, let's put all this pressure on the 20-year-old. You know, like, let's see how that works in his first time against major league pitching. Let's see how that grabs him. And Meyer, I mean, Meyer's a little bit older. He should probably have gotten some major league experience by now. I think it's a little unfortunate that he hasn't yet. You could say there was maybe a little bit of mismanagement there as far as he's concerned. And him starting the year in the minors. Well, he never hit a triple A. I don't care. Is he ready to play? Is he ready to hit at the major league level or not? They determine, though, he's not. So, okay. If he's having trouble at triple A, then let him work out of it. But I don't think you just rush those guys up here. You do that when you have to, when there's an injury or something, and they need to come up and fill in. If it's not dire, if it's not urgent, and I don't quite think that it is yet, certainly not dire urgent enough that it's worth trying to rush a 20-year-old. You know, I think that's a bad mistake that you can make. So I agree with the caller. I don't think they should do that either. Let's go to Rick in Plymouth. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. Well, thank God for the Boston Celtics. I'll own it, tell you right now.
No kidding.
I'm waiting for football season at this rate. Here's what bothers me about the Red Sox. Does anybody remember the horrific start that the Bruins had last season? And they didn't have the talent to climb their way out of it. Well, neither do the Boston Red Sox. They're not going to be able to dig their way out of this hole for starters, and they're going to be playing a catch-up the whole year, and they don't have the horses to do this, even in the farm or up here. So this season, as far as I'm concerned, is already a loss. I don't care if you fired Cora. Look, they fired Montgomery. Big deal. He went to St. Louis. Didn't do half bad.
I
don't know who you bring in unless it's Veritek.
Veritek's a name that's popped up a couple of times. I know everybody likes Veritek. I know everyone thinks Veritek could be a good manager. I don't know if he can or not. I don't see a lot of other
everyone
teams
likes
out
Veritek
there.
Veritek as a manager until Veritek becomes the manager. Then we'll see what Veritek can do.
Right, and it's not like he's getting the million offers from outside of the organization to go manage somewhere
exactly.
else either. So, you know, I mean, I take that sort of seriously. He is – I see him warming up, guys. I don't know if he's like a bullpen catcher or what exactly his role is. I should look that
well,
up.
Well, he probably – I mean, look, he'd be a great pitching coach because I think he works with pitchers and catches better than anybody in baseball. But is he qualified to handle the whole squad? I mean, that's a hell of a jump from pitching coach.
Yeah, it certainly is. Thanks for the call, Rick. Appreciate it. And thanks for checking in. I think it's too early, obviously, to start talking about Cora and losing his job and things like that. You don't lose a job 16 games in. You know, do you 40 games in, 80 games in? You know, like if it keeps up like this, then those questions will persist. But I don't think there's any teeth to them yet. And that's a shame that it even is being discussed. It's too bad that it has to come to this because I don't think that all of these problems are Alex Cora related. I don't think it's Alex Cora's fault for striking out so much. Maybe it has something to do with, because that's not something that was quite so pronounced last year. They weren't great with strikeout, but it wasn't this bad. The errors, though? The errors in the field? I'm not, again, totally clear on all the inner workings of practice and what the manager, you know, how that all works with fielding and defensive drills and all that stuff. But this is awful. And I get told during these pregame shows, you know, it's early on in the year and, you know, some of these errors aren't really that bad. Well, the fielding percentage is pretty bad. And I'm not making stuff up. I'm not looking at games where, you know, a guy gets an error charged to him and it's the wrong call. Well, he got an error, but he only got that error because no one else could make it to that ball. That's not what these errors are. We're not seeing those. We're seeing airmailed throws. We're seeing duffs in the field. Christian Campbell's been responsible for some of them. He's a young player. I think you hope that he can work that out. Alex Bregman, how do you explain him? I don't know that you do. I don't know that there's a reasonable explanation for that. I'm not sure exactly where you draw the line in terms of something being an early season getting the cobwebs out kind of situation and a real problem for this team. But eventually you got to draw that line in the sand somewhere, don't you? Eventually it becomes a problem. These games all count, just like the games in October count, just like the September and the August games count. They all count in the standings. And now you're a sub 500 team. This is at any point in the season. This stretch right here against Chicago and in Tampa Bay should be an opportunity to go out there and build some wins. And instead, they've now dug themselves deeper into the hole that they're already in. And that's hard. That's hard to justify. It's hard to justify going into this game praying that Garrett Crochet is the good Garrett Crochet and that they don't get swept by Chicago. That's ridiculous. And I think we all were so excited, anticipating that this team was going to be much, much better in all these different categories. Well, now we got some right-handed power. We replaced Tyler O'Neill. I did something to do with it. But you know what I mean? Like, these things have all been addressed. These issues have been addressed. The offense seems like it's fallen off considerably from last year. Pitching staff, they entered the year with some injuries, but even still, Tanner Houck, up until this week, was not good. Walker Buehler did not have a particularly great start. Dick Fitz has been awesome, but now he's injured and has to have an MRI. Newcomb, I don't know. All in all, I'd say that this is, on the whole, if you take everything into account, all of the good and the bad that we've seen here over these first 16 games, this has been borderline disastrous. Borderline disastrous. And two losses against the White Sox really drive that point home. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. All right, we've yelled and screamed about the Red Sox plenty here. We do want to switch gears a little bit because today at 1 o'clock, the Boston Celtics, for the last time in the regular season, will tip off as they take on the lowly Charlotte Hornets and close out the regular season. What a regular season it's been. We'll take a look back over the regular season for your Boston Celtics. We'll take a look ahead forward to potential playoff matchups and Jaylen Brown with this injury and these injections that we just found out he got. How's that grab you, Celtics fans? First, here's David Azar. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of Sports Radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Nice work there from David Azer. It's Christian Arcan here, Reverend Arcan, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today as the Celtics play the final game of the year as second of a back-to-back at home against the Charlotte Hornets, a truly terrible team that they beat by like 40 the other day, and they'll probably beat them down again today. And, there's not much really to take away from this, so I'm already looking ahead to the playoffs and looking back on what was a pretty interesting season, all things considered. A season that I think for the Celtics they should not have any real, shouldn't feel bad about. There were a lot of major sky-high expectations coming into the season, and I would say that they fell short of some of those expectations, but some of those expectations were that it would be the best Celtics team of all time, that they would crack the Celtics all-time win record, maybe even the NBA all-time win record in the regular season. Those conversations were being had, not just by me, by lots of people, national people, local people. Everybody was very, very stoked on the Celtics. Everybody was anticipating them to be the first repeat champions here in a long time, and that they were the beginning of, last year anyway, was the beginning of a dynasty, a budding dynasty that was going to take the league by storm and have everybody reconfiguring and trying to load up and beat the Celtics. And you saw a little bit of that in the offseason. You saw the Knicks do it. Other teams made some additions. Some teams didn't. And the teams that didn't, like Cleveland, ended up looking much better than the teams that did. But the Celtics, if they win today, and I have to believe that they will, I don't see how they don't, we'll finish with 61 wins, which will be tied with the 1979-1980 team, coached by Bill Fitch, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is that Bird's rookie year? I think it was. And they will be behind the 64-65 team, 80-81, 83-08, 82-84, last year's team, 07-08. 86, and the 72-73 team with Havlicek and Cowens that didn't make it to the finals. They lost in the conference finals, but won 68 games. So you're still a top 15 all-time, or top 10, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know how many numbers I just gave you there. But you're still an all-time Celtics team, okay? You're still you're still in that conversation. And if they win another championship, no one is going to give a flying fart about how many regular season wins they had. Those type of things don't really hold up unless you're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of banners to look up at, and the Celtics have lots and lots of banners to look up at. And they won banners when they only won 58 games in the regular season. In 1968, They won the finals. It was Bill Russell, obviously. They won 48 games that year. In 1956, they won 44 games. That was back when they only played, I think, 72, but still. The point remains that regular season wins and the Celtics are just not, it's not as big of a deal. With that being said, there were points in this season where I was concerned. I think everyone was. In December and January, when this team was losing winnable games to beatable teams, not really able to throw a lot of long winning streaks together. And it seemed like everything was declining slightly from the year prior. Certainly the shooting percentage, certainly the defense, certainly the transition play, all of that. It seemed like there were some real lapses there. And then from February on, really it started in January, but from February on, I think this team has been as good, if not better, than any team in the league and looked that way. And it's, again, I think, proof that you can go through dips and pauses. And believe me, you know, we've all been here and watched LeBron's Cavs or LeBron's Heat or whoever sleepwalk through parts of the regular season and get it together by the time the playoffs roll around and they're out there and they're steamrolling everybody. Same thing with Golden State, although not quite as much with them. They won lots of regular season games themselves. But there were some years where it seemed like they could be had, and then, you know, James Harden or whoever it was, the Rockets or the Thunder or whatever team that was challenging them that year just come up a little bit short, and they couldn't do it. We'll see this year with the Celtics, with everybody gunning for them. We'll see if the Celtics do maintain that killer instinct. Because there was a point in the season where I thought, I don't know about this. They're more talented, and they can win on talent. But when they have to go up there, have to go toe-to-toe against the Cleveland Cavaliers team who's been pacing them all year, or an Oklahoma City Thunder team that's been pacing everyone all year, and who you had some rough games with this season. I think the losses to OKC were worse than the Cleveland one. And I, you know, there were some tough games with Cleveland, but I feel like that was a little more evenly matched. I feel like Oklahoma City, when they started really going out there and running, it seemed like the Celtics had a harder time keeping up with them than they did with Cleveland at any point. Now, Oklahoma City has to make it there. Just because they have the best record doesn't mean they get an automatic trip to the finals, and they are going to have a lot of hungry teams. Several teams, by the way, who also just fired their coach with three games left to go, which I think is so strange. The Denver Nuggets firing their coach. They said the coach and the GM can't get along, so you fire everybody? That's weird. It's a weird thing to do when you're a top five team in the Western Conference. Same with the Grizzlies. I know a bunch of those teams all have the same record, but that's kind of the point. They're all pretty good. In the East, it's the top three, and then everyone else kind of sucks. In the West, you have a bunch of dangerous teams all up and down that playoff picture, except for one team. And I just wanted to mention this because I saw this today, and I think it's really, really kind of amazing. The Phoenix Suns. A team that I thought was going to be an easy playoff team this year. Why wouldn't they? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. How can that team not make the playoffs? Not only are the Phoenix Suns not going to make the playoffs, they've been eliminated from playoff contention. They finished the year 36-45. That means they're not a playoff team. That means they are not a play-in tournament team. And that also means that they will not be picking in the draft lottery. Do you know how specific that is? Do you know how specifically bad you have to be in order to miss out on the top, to be in outside the top 10 in your conference, but also not bad enough that you get to pick in the lottery? That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. Isn't it? Isn't it the worst way that the season can possibly end? You don't even get to compete in the postseason. You don't even get the play-in tournament, which, by the way, I'm sort of hoping they get rid of that thing. I've had it with the play-in tournament. I don't need to see the 10 seed out there. I don't need to see in the East in particular, it's especially bad. I don't need to see the Chicago Bulls or the Miami Heat, who are 7 games under 500. I don't need to see them out there competing for a playoff spot. I really don't. I think it's kind of pathetic when there's an under 500 team that gets in the top 8. But now what, we're going to add two more of these sub 500 poverty teams and give them a shot to play in a little rinky-dink tournament and then just get eaten up by the Celtics and the Cavs? Okay, cool. Great. Glad we made this added thing here so all those Bulls fans can get pumped up. And for the Suns, in the play-in tournament in the West, the Timberwolves are in it, and they're 15 games over 500. So, at the very least, it's something in the West you can say, all right, but that's the 7th seed. They should just be the 7th seed. You're 15 games over 500. You got to prove yourself against the 39-42 Dallas Mavericks? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Just play the two seed and let's get on with this. I'm done with the play-in tournament. I think the play-in tournament should be abolished. We don't need all these crap teams playing in the playoffs or thinking like they're in the playoffs. You know, the Kings and the Mavericks or whoever it ends up being, it's the Kings and the Mavericks are the 9 and 10 seed. They should just be out of it like Phoenix is, and that's that. But now instead, Phoenix is this very narrow, specific, too old for Pokemon, too young to die is basically where they are. They're too good to make the lottery, but they're too bad to even be in the top 10. Ugh. If I was a Phoenix Suns fan, I would be sick right now. That's about as bad as it gets. Anyway, all that to say this. The Celtics, at the 2 seed, would be taking on, if the season were to end today and there was no play-in tournament, they'd have Orlando. The Orlando Magic would be their opponents. You just saw the Orlando Magic really take it to the Stay Ready crew the other day. But I don't consider them a legitimate contender to the full-strength Celtics. But that also begs the question, are the Celtics the full-strength Celtics right now? Are they? I don't know about that. I know that Jaylen Brown has received injections into his knee. And I think it was Ramona Shelburne that broke that news. And I saw that and said, whoa. Okay. We knew we wanted to try and hit those 65 wins. Or not 65 wins. 65 games to qualify for All-NBA and whatever else. I don't really think he was going to make All-NBA. But that's not my call to make. And I don't know what the voters were going to say. Either way, I think Brown did the right thing in saying, you know, this is me being healthy for the playoffs is more important than any of that. Assuming it was his call. If it wasn't his call and the team had to do it, then I'd rescind this, but whatever. The important thing is that he didn't play in these last two games, and he's not going to. However, Ramona Shelburne reported yesterday morning that Jaylen Brown received pain management injections in his right knee this week as he continues to battle a bone bruise. He sat out against the Magic, and that was the game that eliminated any chance of him hitting 65 and being considered for All-NBA or any of the season awards or any of that stuff. Celtics are locked into the 2 seed, and they'll face the winner of the Magic, and I think the Magic play Atlanta to start off, right? They're the 7 and 8 seed. So there you go. And that starts soon. I mean, listen, the play-in tournament is all coming up here in the next week. Celtics, whoever they play, they're going to start that on either the 19th or the 20th, which is either a week from today or from yesterday. And Joe Mazzulla, along with reports, have come out saying that they are confident that Jaylen Brown is going to be ready to play in round one. And I hope that's true. And I hope it's not just, yeah, he's going to be really banged up, but he's going to try and fight through it. I hope it's no. The knee was hurting, and he needed pain injections, and now that's over. And now he's okay. If it's a bone bruise, we're not talking about a ripped-up tendon here. We're not talking about, you know, something ruptured or anything. We're talking about a bruise. Bruises go away. Is that, you know, is that going to be enough? And again, maybe bone bruises don't go away as fast. I'm not sure. I shouldn't say things like that. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do know they go away faster than, you know, a high ankle sprain. Or a broken bone or a tendon or whatever. So come back soon, Jaylen. I think this team, if they want to really, really continue to play at the level that they have been for the last couple months, then they need to be at full strength. And if they're not at full strength, it can't be Jaylen Brown that's out. Not after what he gave them last year in the playoffs. Not after how he really went above and beyond what people were expecting, and even in many ways outplayed Jason Tatum. And again, it wasn't like they had a whole bunch of adversity in the playoffs in the run-up to the finals last year, or even in the finals itself. But we saw who the best player was, and I don't think they're going to have such a charmed path to the finals this year. I don't think they're going to have a whole bunch of problems with either Orlando or Atlanta, but you have to go through Cleveland this time. You may have to go through Milwaukee. You may have to go through a team that you've had trouble with in the past. I'm not worried about the Knicks, Pacers, or Pistons. But Cleveland and Milwaukee are lurking out there. That could be your rounds two and conference final opponents. And at the very least, even if Milwaukee doesn't beat you, without Jaylen Brown, they could wear you down a little bit. Giannis, he can wear you down. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if Cleveland even makes it to the conference finals. They may not. Who knows? But for the Celtics, I would like to see Jaylen Brown out there, full range of movement, and hopefully this bone bruise thing is not something he's going to continue to need injections to manage the pain for anymore. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with the Celtics conversation, and it was quite a season for your BU Terriers, but it came to a pretty unceremonious end last night in St. Louis at the hands of the Western Michigan Broncos. We'll touch on that with your Celtics phone calls right after this.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of Sports Radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
I gotta tell you, yesterday was a rough one. I was watching golf. I can't take credit for this, but my wife said, what's your plan today? And I gave him the Shane Gillis, a couple of beers. I got sports all day. I got the Masters, got the Red Sox, and then after that, BU and Western Michigan for all the marbles in college hockey, which you may not know it, but I am a massive college hockey fan. I love college hockey. And let's be honest here, that's the only Boston playoff hockey we're seeing this year, right? So if you didn't watch any of that, it's too bad. And that also sucks, by the way, because I love the NHL playoffs too. Stanley Cup playoffs are great. And if the Bruins aren't in it, you just don't care as much, and that sucks. So, you know, there is something to be said for making the playoffs every year, even if you only make it one round or not even. But it was a much-needed reset. It's what I keep telling myself. And I thought, it's okay. BU or BC will win the national championship, no big deal. Unfortunately, BC gets stoned once again by Denver and that great goalie they have. Denver, for the second straight year, falls to Western Michigan. And then in a showdown after BU handled Penn State, a showdown in St. Louis that through the first couple periods was a pretty good game, pretty good back and forth. And then at the end, the Broncos just pulled away, and that was that. They got the two-goal lead. They got a bunch of insurance goals at the end. Hit a couple empty netters. And it ended up looking a lot worse than I think it was, although it wasn't a good day for BU. It just wasn't. It wasn't a good night for them. But when I tell you that ever since I switched over from the Masters to the Red Sox, and that was the rest of my day. It was 4 o'clock, you know, it was wrapping up anyway. I switch over from the Masters over to the Red Sox. And from there, for me, it was Red Sox into the BU game. And I'll tell you what, that was unpleasant. That was an unpleasant evening. From 4 o'clock until 11:30, whenever that BU game ended, I was in a bad mood. And I feel like it's carried over into today. So I apologize. I apologize for my crankiness. It's not my fault. You have to blame it on the teams. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in. We'll take your phone calls here on the Celtics, on the Red Sox, on BU if you want to call in. You're an angry BU fan, or if you're a BC fan who wants to gloat. I don't know why you would. They made it further than you did. But if you do, whatever. We got phone lines open. We'll let you do it. We'll let you talk your smack. Just don't get carried away because, again, you know, you lost to Denver. Either way, all that's on the table here as we inch up closer to Red Sox pregame with Cooper Boardman, who I once again have not ruled out as the culprit for why the Red Sox are having so much trouble in Chicago. I don't know what he's doing exactly. I don't know how it's his fault, but I'm starting with the conviction, and then I'll work backwards. If that sounds familiar, maybe it should. That's how I choose to do it here with Cooper Boardman. Just kidding. I think Cooper sounded great, by the way. I think he sounded great in both of the games. I think there's a real difference. I'm not saying it's better or it's worse, but it's definitely different. When you have two play-by-play guys going instead of one play-by-play guy and one color guy, you know, one the former player who's like doing color commentary and Will has to do play-by-play for the entire game, it's a very different dynamic if you've been listening. And I've been listening to every single one of these games, and I think Will's tremendous. And he's done a great job with Lenny and Middlebrooks and everybody else. But there is a different sort of flow to it. And with him and Joe, you know, you heard that. And when it was Joe and Tim Neverett, or when it was Joe and O'Brien, or whoever, like you did, there was a more, it was, I don't know, it was like a two-man show, as opposed to one guy doing it, and here's the color guy chiming in, and then all that. It's just, it's a different flow, it's a different dynamic. I'm not sure which one I like better. But I do think that there's definitely, especially with Boardman, I think that there is a real good rapport there, and I like how they go back and forth. And that's a cool way of doing it. I like when they have that. All the games to start the year were all the other way. It was all Middlebrooks and then DiNardo. So now you get the two play-by-play guys. I think that's a cool dynamic to have. 617-779-7937. One last thought on the Celtics. They set the record for three-pointers this year. Breezed past it. I don't think it's a record that's going to stand for very long. I think it's a record that'll probably fall in the next 2 years. And I think that if you're still of the mind that NBA ratings are down because of the three-pointers, I think that that's, I don't know, I never really bought into that. And I think that that's probably going to age poorly as a take, because I do think that ratings will tick back up, and I don't think the three-pointers are going anywhere. I think it's just going to be just like when they added the three-point line, right? They added the three-point line in, what, 1979, 1980, whatever it was? And everyone's like, oh, you can't add a three-point line. I don't want to watch the sport anymore. And there were other reasons why people didn't want to watch the sport back in the late 70s, early 80s, which I don't have time to get into right now. But if you're watching Celtic City or that 30 for 30 about the Celtics-Lakers rivalry, you know what it was. And it's not just in Boston. It was league-wide. There was a real problem there, a real racist problem all throughout NBA viewership. But, again, that's a bigger topic that we don't have time for right now. At any rate, that's not why people aren't watching now. People aren't watching now, in my opinion, because you have a changing of the guard going on with the last generation of superstars and the current generation of superstars, and the old guys aren't letting go. You know, you still got LeBron out there at 40, whatever. You still got Curry out there in his late 30s. These guys are still playoff team, you know, leading playoff teams. Still guys you don't want to see in a playoff series. And no other team and no other player has jumped out and claimed it yet. The NBA is still up for grabs, folks. It's still up for grabs. The Celtics are the reigning champions, but if they don't win, I mean, listen, if Oklahoma City takes over, that's another new champion. If Cleveland wins, another new champion in the last 8 years. And that's why I think that has a lot to do with it. From just a fundamental entertainment perspective, what's more entertaining, a new champion every year, or a big, bad team that everyone's trying to knock off? And is it going to happen this year? Are they finally going to do it? Is this going to be the time? You know, like, that's inherently more compelling television. It just is. Than everybody getting a chance to be the NBA champ. And I think that the NBA sort of looked at that differently. Everybody wants parity. I get that. But you also want to have dynasties. You also want to have bullies on the block. You also want to have a team that's the bad guys. And everyone's trying to knock off the bad guys. Everyone's trying to beat the Yankees. Everyone's trying to beat the Patriots. Everyone's trying to beat the Lakers or the Celtics or the Bulls or whoever. Montreal Canadiens, Chicago Blackhawks, the Penguins, you know, like all that. And it switches. It's not something that goes on forever, but it's something that I think makes sports inherently more interesting. And the NBA right now is right in the middle of the most everybody gets a trophy era in the history of the sport. I mean, really, like 8 straight years with 8 different champions. That's never happened in my life, I don't think. Certainly not recently. And I think that that's a big reason. You still got the old guys, and they're still the starters on Team USA, and Jason Tatum's not getting any playing time, and that's sort of minimizing some of these guys, and I think that's been part of it. From a marketing perspective, I think that's been part of it. And with the NBA wide open, with the LeBron, Curry, et cetera, with that era aging out, no one seized it yet. If the Celtics seize it, if the Celtics become that next team and Tatum and Brown, they become the next big bad bullies on the block here and everyone's trying to knock them off, you'll see ratings go back up. You definitely will. And that's going to be three-point shooting, non-three-point shooting. It's not going to matter. You're going to see it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll come back, give you a preview of what Garrett Crochet, I hope he does against the White Sox here, as the Red Sox look to avoid a sweep at the hands of the lowly Chicago White Sox. That's coming up next before we wrap things up and send it over to Cooper Boardman and Will Fleming here on WEEI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
All right, about a minute left here. Just real quick, wanted to point out a couple of things about this game you're about to listen to. It's WEEI, Red Sox baseball, coming your way in about 2 minutes. It's Garrett Crochet going up against his former team. And over on the White Sox side, it is Shane Smith, who some of you may know as a Governor Dummer alum who grew up in Danvers. Local product. And I believe it's not called Governor Dummer anymore, by the way. When I was in school, it was Governor Dummer, and I had to play against Dan Gadzurek one time, and that was not fun. But now I think it's just Governor. Governor Academy or the Governor's Academy. They stopped calling it Governor Dummer. Can't imagine why. Poor guy. Anyway, Shane Smith is actually like pretty good. So far, he's had two starts for the White Sox, and he was good in both of them. So you already got the soft underbelly of the White Sox, and now you actually have to face like a pretty good pitcher. Shane Smith in two starts, he went 5 2/3, allowed 2 runs, 6 scoreless innings last time against Cleveland. They lost the game 1-0, but this guy can actually pitch. Good luck out there. I'll talk to you on Monday tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Red Sox pregame. In the meantime, here's Cooper Boardman. Here's Will Fleming. Here's Red Sox baseball. I'm Christian Arcand. I'm out of here. Nice job, David. Enjoy the game, everybody. Bye.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.